That you've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God, praise God. Well, let all of our visitors know, First Pentecostal Church, how welcome they are in the house of God this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's good to be here. Man, good to feel what we feel this morning. I feel so good in my spirit this morning. Amen. I just want to share a tidbit with you. It's not going to cost you any extra. Amen. Somebody handed it. In fact, Sister Jean handed me this morning. Called spirit balance. How many's ever felt like you had a day out of balance? You know, just things kind of outweighed the good and all that. Anybody else ever had any days like this? Then there's other days. Hey, there's other days. Amen. The good overpowers the bad, and you feel really, really good. Don't you wish we had more of those days? Here's a little tidbit for you. Called spirit balance. If you have the spirit without the word, you'll blow up. If you have the word without the spirit, you'll dry up. If you have both the word and the spirit, you'll grow up. Amen. Isn't that good? Praise God. All right. Amen. Very profound statement. Well, praise God for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the Psalm of David, Psalms 22. Psalms 22. Man, if you enjoyed the praise and worship this morning, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Glory to God. I'll just kind of share with you. The band and the choir and the praise team is not here to entertain you. They're here to entertain the Spirit of God. Oh, yeah. And if that entertains you, that's all right. Amen. But first and foremost, we're here to entertain the Spirit of God, to welcome and encourage the move of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost in our service this morning. Psalms 22, verses 1 through 8. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's holy and precious word. The writer says, my God, why? Anybody ever heard that? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for the visitation of your Spirit. God, I pray that you would continue to pour out of your anointing upon this service this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would anoint these lips of clay. God, use this as a vessel and oracle, God, for the Holy Ghost to speak to us this morning. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for those who've come today, God, for the purpose of worshiping and praising you and to learn of your word and to learn of your will. Father, we're thankful for every song of praise this morning. We're thankful, God, for the Spirit, God, that is so strong here. I pray, God, that you would meet the needs of this people. I pray that you would lift up and encourage, bless those who are sick and afflicted. Some were not able to be here this morning. God, I pray for their healing. I pray for an anointing. And God, again, we ask that you be with us in a mighty way, and we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise, and you may be seated. Well, praise the Lord. This particular passage of Scripture, in fact, 22 and 23, and we're going to get to 23 in just a little bit, but I want to lay some groundwork before we get there. Amen. A little foundational work if we can. But it's been on my heart, it's been in my spirit this particular week, and I want to share with you what I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart. If I had a message titled it this morning, it would be Attitudes May Change, But God Doesn't. Can I repeat that? Attitudes may change, but God doesn't. How many's glad that God doesn't change, by the way? Amen. I'm so glad he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. Webster tells us attitude is a mental position, a settled way of thinking. Have you ever heard the phrase, you've got an attitude?
Well, all attitudes are not bad. But we speak them as though they're negative attitudes. And the reason is because you've got a position of thinking, you've got a settled way in your mind, so you've got an attitude. Not that I've got an attitude, but you've got an attitude. We hear that quite often. But attitudes change, amen, from day to day. I spoke of it just a minute ago. You know, some days are really, really good, and it affects our attitude, and all is well. And then sometimes the rug is pulled out from under us, and man, it changes our whole day, whole out. But we even treat folks different sometimes when we have a bad attitude. But during all of that, and during all of our inadequacies, during all of our characteristic hang-ups, God's still the same. God's still the same as he was with David. God's still the same as he was with the other patriarchs of the Old Testament. And he's still the same today. And thank God his love and his forgiveness and his mercy and grace is beyond our ability to even fathom or comprehend. Some scholars cite or believe that this particular passage of Scripture, the 22nd Psalm, in its entirety, and I did not read it in its entirety, but you're welcome to, they believe that it suggests a prophetic message of Christ's suffering on the cross of Calvary, because Christ used those same very words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So many hold to the fact that David was doing nothing more than being led by the Spirit of God as he prophetically spoke of the suffering and the pain and the anguish that Christ suffered on the cross of Calvary. Not saying I agree or disagree, I'm just saying and pointing out what some scholars hold to. Other scholars seem to think that he spoke metaphorically of the nation of Israel and how that Israel was in a disarray and how that Israel was maybe in a backslidden condition and not as on fire for God as they once was and not as in tune to the Spirit of God. And how many knows that will affect your attitude? Amen. God doesn't change, but we do sometimes. God doesn't change his position, by the way. So if you've been praying for God to change his mind, let me encourage you just to praise God. Help me to change my mind. Help me to change my spirit. Amen. Because I want to be, amen, in tune to your spirit. I want to be in the focus to what your will is. Not my will, Lord, but I want to be in tune to what your will is. And some scholars hold to the fact that he was speaking metaphorically of the condition of Israel. And how many knows that many times the situation of a nation can certainly affect your attitude. I was speaking with a good brother of mine several months ago, and he told me, he said, I just had to turn off talk radio. And I'm listening intently because I listen to talk radio quite often. And he said, the reason I did that, he said, it because it was affecting my attitude. And not in a positive manner, by the way. He said, even though I agreed with many of the things that they're saying, many of the topics, he said, it affected my attitude. I saw it in my driving. Amen. Oh, come on. Yes. Amen. Sometimes you get a good attitude, somebody cuts you off, you just pray for them. Sometimes you're in a bad mood, they cut off, you hit the accelerator. I'll show them. It affects your attitude. He said, I had to cut it off. It affected the way I was driving. It affected the way I spoke with my family. It affected the way I showed up on work. They said, what's wrong with you? And he said, nothing. But he realized it affected his attitude. And things will affect your attitude. That's the reason I incorporate. You know, we pray, but we need to pray, amen, before we lay down and go to sleep. Amen. I want my dreams to be affected by the Word of God. How about you? I want my sleep to be restful in the arms of Jesus Christ. And the last thing that I do before I close my eyes, I want to pray unto the Lord. I want to get my attitude right, because I don't know about you, but I enjoy my sleep time. I want to get the fullest effect of it. But many, many times our attitudes are affected by different things. And even though that some say that it was a message, a messianic of Christ, and Christ did use the same words and had the same reason, I imagine that Christ's flesh felt like that God had forsaken him. It wasn't his spirit crying out, it was the flesh crying out. Amen. And for a little while, I know that God had to forsake his flesh in order, amen, for that sin debt to be paid. Aren't you thankful that Christ, amen, didn't come down off of the cross, but he endured the pain of the cross of Calvary and his shed blood. Amen. We are the recipients of that blessing today. Can you put your hands together and thank Jesus one more time? Amen. For the blood that he shed for us. Others suggest that David spoke simplistically of his own demise, of his individual anguish and pain. And even though David was called a man after God's own heart, he had pain. and he had agony, and he had situations arise in his life, just as we do. And David, being mortal, coined the phrase, just like we do, "Why, Lord? Why, God, am I going through this? Why am I facing this situation? Why have you forsaken me, seemingly, in my most urgent sense of need and help?" And probably each and every one of us have our own way of questioning that particular relationship with God. And many, many times we're not realizing that God is in control. Amen. We do after the fact. After he comes on the scene and makes everything good and blesses us and opens a door of opportunity and heals us or whatever the situation, then we say, "Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." But where was that confidence? Where was that faith? Amen. Where was that trust before we begin to see the hand of God in motion? So many think that David was. Let me share one other thing with you. And I don't want to give my opinion, because another thing that was on this thing, it says Jesus declared the truth, not his opinion. You know, Jesus, when he was preaching and teaching, he wasn't teaching his opinion. He was preaching the truth. So I don't want to preach my opinion. So if you ask me, "Brother Eddie, which one of those do you adhere to?" I think there's probably sound fact and sound reasoning backing up each situation or each belief. But here's the main thing. Something wasn't right with David's attitude. Whether it's prophetic, whether it was metaphoric, whether it was caused or based on his immediate situation, whatever the fact was, caused this great psalmist, who would take his harp in hand and begin to play really wonderful melody on the harp and sing praise and honor and glory unto God, so much so that it even comforted Saul when an evil spirit was against him. But he called for David, and David would play this, and this music would cause praise and honor and glory and affect his whole attitude. It would have changed your attitude. And let me tell you something, the greatest thing that I've ever found that changed my attitude was hitting my knees and say, "Lord, not my will but thine be done." Glory to God. Every once in a while my attitude needs to be changed. I'm nothing but a human being. I'm flesh and blood. Thank God for the spirit that dwells within me, but thank God I still know and realize that every once in a while my attitude needs to be adjusted. I need to quit thinking about what I ain't got and what I have got. Amen. What God's brought me from, amen, by faith, what God's going to do for me. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. David once said, "He's the lifter up my head." Thank God that he takes our attitude and he molds it and he fashions it, amen, according to his will. Amen. If you've ever had God do that, give him a hand clap for praise this morning for his goodness and his mercy. But can I tell you, whatever the situation was, David was down in the dumps. David was, he was in a situation where he was having a pity party. Man, I believe it was more than a party. I believe it was a pity blowout. Somehow, I don't know if you've ever been there. You know, pity parties sometimes when some things ain't going right. A pity blowout when nothing ain't going right. Man, don't you tell me you've ever never thought that. Amen. Some of us have spoke it. Amen. Be careful what you speak. I've told you so many times. Talk to somebody, "How you doing?" "Oh, I'm trying to catch a cold." "Don't worry, you'll get it." Amen. I like them folks say, "How you doing?" "I'm trying to get rid of one." Amen. "I don't like this." And other folks, "I'm trying to catch it. I'm trying to get down in my back." You'll get there. I will assure you, be careful what you speak. Amen. Because it affects your mental persuasion. I like what Webster says. He said, "It is a mental position." I'm going to quit telling my wife, "You have an attitude." I'm going to tell her, "Honey, you have a mental position." That sounds much sweeter. I'm not sure how she'll receive it, but from the intent, I mean the same thing. And it sounds better than, "Baby, you got an attitude." "Honey, you got a mental position." Almost sounds like a compliment, doesn't it? It's a settled way of thinking. Come on, husbands, put your hand together. Your wife had a mental position. She has a settled way of thinking. Don't worry, you got one too. Come on, we all do. And that mental position, amen, sometimes impedes or restricts or affects the move of the Spirit on us. Praise God. Anybody ever ask you to do something and you said, "I don't want to"? And they say, "Why?" "I just don't feel like it." I don't feel like it. I would never get anything accomplished in my life if I just felt like it. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I didn't really feel like getting out of the bed this morning. Felt good. Especially after a hectic weekend. Man, that bed felt real good. Amen. But I had to change my attitude. Had to change my mental position. I had to throw back the covers in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you, covers. I rebuke you, soft pillow. I'm getting up and going to get me some coffee. I'm going to church. It does affect our mental position. And whatever the case was, David was down in the dumps. The words and phrase of verse 22 or of chapter 22 suggests that David himself was in intense misery. One who killed the lion, the one who killed the bear, the one who stood out in front of Goliath and with the help of the Lord was victorious over that giant. The one who played those songs, those wonderful songs, those songs of melody and praise unto God was in a bad state of mind. He was in a mental position where he thought that God had forsaken him and he would not hear him, and he cried all night, but nothing seemed to suffice. Nothing seemed to help him. And he was in a situation where he just needed a kind word. He needed a comforting hand. He needed some saint of God to walk up to him and not say, "What's going wrong with you?" But I just want to pray with you. I want to stand with you. Amen. Many, many times we don't realize it. What we think that a saint is snubbing us, amen, it's nothing more than the fact they're in a mental position, amen, where they've been racked with pain or agony or intense situation, and they need the mighty Spirit of God to move on them, whether it be through a song, whether it be through a scripture, whether it be through a sermon, or whether it be just the mighty hand of God reach down and lift us out of those doldrums, lift us out of that attitude situation, and place us again on solid ground. How many's ever had God just do that? Just reach down and lift you up. Amen. I tell you, don't you worry. I'm not going to fail you. I will make a way with you. Or for you, just remember, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. Praise God. Don't worry, God has it in control. But David's words and phrases speak of intense misery. Pain doesn't always give the reason. Sometimes we can't even put our finger on the reason why we're not feeling right. I've had my wife, "What's wrong with you, honey?" "I don't know. I just don't feel right." Come on. Amen. Is that God's fault? No. He's still the same. He's still the deliverer. If there's any change in done, it must have been on my part. Well, are you hurting anywhere? No. No. Are you mad? No. More than usual. Well, what's wrong? I don't know. Don't ask me no more. That right there tells me that I've got a mental position that needs to be sanctioned by the Holy Ghost. Amen. I need to be patient. I need to be kind. I need to be gentle. I need to be humble. I need to be meek. That's what the Bible says. And many, many times we're praying in a bad attitude. Well, it's true anyway, whether you agree with it or not. We're praying in a bad attitude. God, I'm here to tell you, you got to do something. No, you don't. He usually does, but he don't have to. Amen. He's God. He can do what he wants to do. And just think about it. Maybe what we're wanting him to do is not his will. Maybe it's detrimental and we don't realize it. God, you need to give me my heart's desire. No, you need to shut up and pray the will of God. Oh, me. God, you got to do it. You got to open this door. You got to heal my body. You got to make a way. Lord, I can't make it with it. You got to do this. You know, when I find myself, and I've done that before. When I find myself doing that, I find myself like David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you not hear me? I've cried all night. You haven't heard me. You haven't given me an answer. You haven't showed me the way. I don't see a sign. I don't see anything. God, where are you? He's right where he was. Always. It's my mental position has been warped. My mental position has not been sanctified like it needs to be. Pray God, and if you don't understand what I'm talking about, maybe you've had every prayer you've ever prayed answered. Maybe you have. But my mental position is sometimes, wait, I got to get in the will of God. Lord, help me to be submissive. Help me, God, to be obedient. Help me, God, to approach the throne of grace, God, in a humble position. Lord, help me to accept your will and not my will. Hallelujah. Whatever the case was, they reflect an attitude. Amen. I'll just kind of point this out this morning. There are things probably, and maybe you can agree or disagree, that has been said to us when our attitude was right, when our attitude was, lack of a better term, sanctified. It kind of just rolls off our back like water on a duck's back. But you let somebody say the very same thing when your attitude ain't right. Oh, my Lord. We're ready to turn over a table and run the money changers out. We're ready to get even. How dare you? They don't realize what they've done. My mental position wasn't right. Amen. I was sharing this morning with my brother here. And Sister Penny and I both have just recently retired, by the way. And Brother Jim is semi, and his wife is still working, and we were talking, and I said, you know what? You're going to find when both of you get retired, you're going to be stretched to the limits. You're going to be convenient. You're going to be convenient to do this. And my wife has started speaking French. Yeah. Every morning it's, we need to. And I'm just a country boy. I don't really understand French. I said, what? We need to. We. Amen. And sometimes when my attitude is right, I say, okay, baby, let's do it. Other times when my attitude is not right, I say, what you mean we? I'm not French. You go do it. Then I repent and ask for forgiveness from God and her. Because the attitude needs to be changed. Amen. Whatever the situation, whatever the intent was, the words and phrases speak of intense misery. They describe a mental position or a settled way of thinking. They do reflect our attitude. Here's the psalmist writing down these words. That's the reason they tell us, be careful when you send out emails and text messages. Amen. And remember to take the caps lock off. When I get them things in all cap letters, I'm going, where's my earplugs? As I read it. Because many, many times the way you send that email and text message is not the intent of the heart, but it is received in a different manner because the attitude of the person receiving it is that, man, they're fussing me out. They're saying all kind of negative things when that may not have been the intent of the heart. But here it is quite evident that something heavy is on David's mind and on his heart. Amen. I begin to think about this, and I begin to think about my own experiences in my own past and when I communicate with God and how that in times past, I know that I have not been the most understanding and kind person in praying to God. And it's because of the misery or the pain or the anguish or the misunderstanding I have about my situation or my need. And rather than being trusting, rather than being faithful, rather than being submissive and obedient to the will of God, I'm not ready to hear anything except what I want to hear. Amen. And many, many times that's where I get to, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why am I in pain and misery? Why have you not opened the door? Why have you not come on the scene? And it's because I must get my spirit right. I must get my mental position right. I must be, amen, in the capacity of a servant, amen, of a child of God, rather than a demanding, amen, person that's demanding God to move. Now, I'm not talking anti-faith here. I know that we must believe what we ask for. But many, many times as we're asking, our mental position and our spirit is not where it needs to be. David wrote these things. I wrote this. Attitudes are most often affected by circumstance. Man, how many are familiar with circumstance? Maybe unplanned situations. Surprise. How many knows that all surprises ain't good? When I was a kid, I loved surprises as long as it was good and a gift was attached to it. But I found out as an adult, all surprises ain't good. Some surprises are detrimental. Some surprises are earth-shattering. Amen? And it all affects our mental position. Therefore, we have a tendency to change from good to bad or from bad to good. Case in point. Supervisor to worker. We're going to cut back and put you on from 5 days a week to 4 days a week. Attitude goes from good to bad. I can't make it on 4 days. I've got bills to pay. I've got a brand new car, a brand new boat, a brand new rifle, a brand new... Hello? I got all these things. And I got to have that paycheck to make. I can't make it on 4 days. I got to make it up. And then he says... But wait a minute. We're still going to pay you the same thing. Attitude from good to bad, from bad to good. Oh, okay, that's all right. Amen. The intentions were the same. Our attitude changed. Sometimes we don't even give God enough time to finish out what He started in our life to do it. Amen. We can't see the future. God already sees the future. He holds the future in His hand. If you're right now praying for a miracle, don't give up because it didn't happen this morning. If you're praying for healing, don't get upset because it hadn't. You hadn't seen any change. I will assure you, if you'll just get your mind right, if you get your spirit right, if you will adjust your attitude to be subservient unto God and to be submissive and obedient unto Him, God will do it because He has not changed. He will not change. He's still the great I am. Hallelujah. He's still the healer of the body. Glory to God. He is still our salvation. But we got to understand that we got to get our attitude. I also wrote this: our attitude governs our actions. Man, it does. It does. We can accomplish a lot more when we got a good attitude about it. Can't we, Brother Jim? This Friday's morning's workout was a fiasco. It was awful. I was ashamed when I walked out of my workout. Because my mind wasn't on it. Brother Jim, but he knew it. He understood it. He said, we're going to cut you some slack. Thank God he did for a little. But it was because my mind was because we worked hard Thursday. And I went into that workout thinking, I've already done a workout. I need to be, you know, not do much today. And I couldn't do the weights as good. I couldn't do the legs as good. I couldn't do anything. It was because of my mental persuasion. My mind was settled. And I walked out of there and I had to repent to myself. You didn't give it your best shot. You know when you do it. Now I want to use that as a spiritual analysis. You know when you've come to church and give it your all. You know when you've got into the Word of God and you've given it your best. You know in your prayer time when you've prayed and you've asked God and you've been submissive unto Him. And we also know it when we did it in a wrong attitude. We also know it when we didn't give it our all. Amen. When we didn't put our best effort forward. And I was taught from a little bitty boy by my daddy, you do the best you can. I don't expect anything outside of, I don't expect you to be perfect, but I do expect you to do the best you can. That applied in life, that applied in school, that applied to my relationship with others. And he sure let me know that that applied when I was in church worshiping and praising God. Amen. Our attitude governs our actions. Now let us fast forward. Amen. Many, many times we like to get out of that bad situation and fast forward to the good. I don't know the time frame. I'd have to research it and try to find out. Maybe some of you do. between the time that the psalmist David wrote the 22nd psalm and the 23rd. Now, I don't know if it's in exact chronological order here or if it just happened to be handy. I don't know. But I kind of think when from the time he wrote the 22nd to the time that he wrote the 23rd, something happened. Maybe that I didn't say that with enough emphasis. From the time of the 22nd, moaning and groaning and complaining and wondering, where are you, God? Until the writing of the 23rd Psalm, something happened. And it was good for his attitude. It was good for his spirit. It had a change of mind. It had a change of heart. It had a change of focus. Amen. All bad things began to look good. Amen. The gray skies cleared up and turned blue again. You had a smile on your face. It was once turned upside down. You didn't mind people speaking to you because you was ready to speak to them back. Let me tell you, I'll tell you the one thing that didn't change. God had not changed from chapter 22 to chapter 23. He's still the good shepherd. He still leads us beside the green pasture. He still leads us beside the still waters. He still restores our soul. He still will be with us and anoint our cup runneth over, even in the presence of our enemies. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, the only thing that changed was David's mindset, was his attitude. He got his heart right. He got his mind right. He got focused on what God can do and not why he's not doing what I want him to do. I don't know if that hits your heart this morning, but it hits my spirit. It hits me where I live. I want to be submissive to God. I want to look for the best things, amen, that I know that God can do, rather than moaning and groaning. Oh, what a difference. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, same man, same God, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. He wrote both things. It looks like some different author wrote it. No, but it was David. Amen. I've been there, haven't you? I've been the David of the verse of the chapter 22. But I've also been David of the chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. It doesn't matter where he leads me. I will follow him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. I can almost envision David as he writes chapter 22. His countenance is fallen. He's wadding up paper and throwing it away. If you've ever written anything, you know what I'm talking about. That ain't right. Throw it away. Throw it away. That song ain't right. It don't rhyme. It don't make sense. And my poems are not working out right. And it just don't happen. But there's been other times when the Holy Ghost moved on you. You couldn't write it fast enough. Oh, my Lord. Slow down. Slow down. I can't do shorthand. Lord, slow down. Let me. You know what I'm talking about. I can see old brother David. The little shepherd boy, the one victorious with a sling and the stone, the one who took the bear, amen, and the one who took the lion, and with the power of God, he was able to overtake both of them. But now he's agonizing over these words as he's writing, and my God, maybe the tears stain the paper, I don't know, amen. Maybe he puts his harp aside, he doesn't feel like singing, he doesn't feel like praising. My blessed daddy told me one time, son, he said, there's two times to praise the Lord. That's when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. I know what he's talking about. It's easy to praise him when everything's going good. It's easy to praise him when you feel like it. But let me tell you something. You want a real blessing? You walk in and praise him when nothing's going right. You praise him when you've had a terrible week. You praise him when you don't feel good in your body. You praise him when everybody's left you. You praise him when people are talking about you. Glory to God. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. You praise him in the bad times, you'll have more good times. Well, glory. Hallelujah. David's agonizing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why do you not hear me? Why do you not answer my prayer? I cry all night. I'm not silent. But yet, I don't hear from you. And he's agonizing. Oh, but somewhere, sometime in the time frame that passes, don't know what happened. Amen. Hallelujah. I know how God changes my spirit sometimes. Glory to God. I used to do a little, and I hope I don't get off track here. I used to do a little exercise, and I've never considered myself a counselor, but sometimes when couples would come to me and they would want to speak and we'd pray, I'd do more listening than anything. One little exercise that I did, and I would give them a blank sheet of paper and a pencil, and I would separate them so that they couldn't look on each other's page. And I said, listen, I want you to just write down everything that's going wrong in your relationship. Everything that gets on your nerves. I don't care if it's snoring at night or clipping your toenails. Whatever it is, you put it down. You put it down. If it's real to you, then it's real. Amen. And oh boy, they begin to write. And I'm just sitting back and them pencils are flying. And every once in a while they'll kind of look at each other. And I made sure that they couldn't see what the other one was writing. But they still want to look. And I know what they're thinking. All of that. And buddy, they're just writing those things down. They get down about 8 or 9 or 10 and they begin to slow down. And then, you know what? I don't know, but something about an eraser in your mouth causes you to go into intense thinking. Yes. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have one up here. I don't have a pencil. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Can you write to you? Put that pencil. I used to do that on the test. Didn't work. I still didn't know what to write. But when you put that pencil up there and you're thinking, they wrote them first 8 or 9 or 10 real fast, and then they're thinking, and then finally they'll write something, and they'll go back to thinking again. And finally I said, is that it? Write down everything. And honestly, I don't think any of them ever got over maybe 12 or 15 at the most. It's okay. I don't want to see them. I don't want you to share them. I want you to turn the page over. Can I tell you, some of you need to turn the page over? I just thought I'd say that. Turn the page over. Flip it over. Now I want you to write everything good about them. Whether it was the hair, whether it was the eyes, whether it was the lips, whether it was her kindness, whether it was him, whatever. You write everything good about it. Now let me tell you something. Them pencils wasn't flying, but they were consistently writing things down. You got down to 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Still writing. Slow, but writing. Amen. Then they go up to and start writing. And all of a sudden, they got a whole column and maybe a half or two columns of things that's going right. And after they're through, I said, is that it? Is that everything? Yeah, I think so. And then wait. They write something else. I said, okay, plenty of time now. Whatever you take. So when they were finished, I said, now answer me this question. You want to dissolve this relationship over the front page, which is only 8 or 9 or 10, or you want to build on what you've got written down on the back page? There's more good in your life than there is bad. Some of us need to get a pencil and paper and begin to write. Amen. When you get on the back side, you write down every blessing. You write down every answered prayer. You write down every time he wakes you up in the morning. You write down every time, amen, he's with you in the hospital. He's with you in the waiting room. Every blessing. And I will assure you, the good far outweighs the bad. Maybe David began to think about that. Maybe David flipped the page and quit writing, my God, why has he forsaken me? And maybe wrote something like, my God, why have I turned my back on you? Why have I let my attitude get me in this situation? Because he said, the Lord is my shepherd. I love these two words because this lets us know that our attitude is right. He maketh me. When your attitude's right, it's, you ain't making me do nothing. You would think that it would have took the strongest person in the world to make me do something. But no, it was a 5'3" woman that I call mother. She could make me do what she wanted me to do. Wasn't I really feared her, but I feared the hickory. Oh, Jesus. Don't beat me like mother did. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes when my attitude is not right, He maketh me to lie down in green blessings, in green pastures, in His anointing, and what He has provided for me. Amen. The best way to have an attitude adjustment is look what God has brought you from. Look at the many things He's done for you and understand that He hasn't changed a bit. It's our attitude that changed. Amen. But God's still the same. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Bad attitudes need to be made and need to be led by the Spirit of God. Can you say amen? David realized it. Then he restoreth my soul. Praise God. I don't know why I'm standing on my toes when I do that, but I feel bigger. Amen. When He restores my soul, I feel mightier in God. Amen. Not in myself, but because He has refreshed me. He has restored me. Amen. He has assured me that He is with me. Praise God. And that restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Now, before, if my attitude said, I've got to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I've been upset about that. But now David says, hey, no big deal. God's with me. I don't fear it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Are you sure this is the same writer that wrote chapter 22? Yeah, he's the same, and is God still the same? Praise God. Amen. What is it? Attitudes may change, but God doesn't. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God, couldn't you prepare a table in the presence of my friends? Come on. That's what we want. Yeah, we want a whole surround, everything to be perfect. But when He prepares a table for you in the midst of all of your issues, of all of your circumstance, of all the enemies of your mind, of all the enemies, whether they be physical or spiritual or whatever, or even, let me tell you something. I'm going to shock you. Some of your enemies are not foreign. They're in you. They're in here. They're in our spirit. Some of our greatest enemies are with us all the time, and that's what happens to our attitude. But thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Satan, you lying rascal. Glory to God. I'm going to partake of the blessings of God. Right before, you sit here and you watch me. Amen. Watch me be blessed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I refuse to be a victim. I am an overcomer. In fact, the Bible says we are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens us. I refuse to be a victim. I'm not going to be a victim. I'm too blessed to be stressed. Amen. Glory to God. God is anointing with me every day of my life. Go ahead. Put me in the midst of mine enemies. I'll enjoy my blessings because thou art with me. Hallelujah. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Boy, that's a long way from God. Where are you? My cup's running over. I'm so blessed, it's running out on other people. Glory to God. That's what I used to do as a small boy. Amen. Before I got the Holy Ghost, the Lord started blessing. I'd go sit by mother because I knew her cup was going to run over. And little, I just kind of thought it'd kind of be on me and I'd be all right. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I was a sinner, I was afraid to go to sleep at night. Amen. But you know, the next morning, made it again. I'm all right. Till next service, and then I get all convicted again. I'm glad I came to the knowledge of I needed Christ in my life. Amen. Not just because of a fearful relationship, but because of a total and utmost appreciation of what He did on the cross at Calvary. That brought me to an altar. Amen. When fear didn't do it, love did. Glory to God. But my cup runneth over. Glory to God. You know what happens when your cup runs over? Them same people used around in chapter 22. Ooh, what happened to him? Boy, he sure does look different. Man, I wonder what happened to him. He must have got a raise. Amen. His wife must have cooked his favorite meal. You can see he didn't have no red lights on the way to work this morning, can't you? He's too happy. Amen. Glory to God. Let me just say, happiness should not be affected by circumstance. Because if circumstance can make you sad, look out. The devil's going to bring circumstance after circumstance after circumstance. Amen. But thank God if you can hold your head up high through them and know and understand that God is with you. Why? Because surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love goodness and mercy, don't you? Glory to God. When goodness and mercy's falling, you got a bounce in your step. Sometimes I think goodness and mercy sitting in the back seat, asleep. So when goodness and mercy is in the back seat asleep, that's when I'm saying, good Lord, woman, that light ain't going to get no greener. Don't act like you've never thought that. Put that phone down and mash the accelerator. I got to go. Goodness and mercy wakes up and says, what was that? You better get your attitude back right, boy. Thank God that goodness and mercy follows me everywhere I go. Amen. Even when I go to the doctor's office and he said, I got bad news. Well, that's all right. Goodness and mercy is with me. Amen. Amen. When I'm driving down the highway and I think that nobody cares and tears are running down my face and I think, absolutely, I'm going to quit and do nothing. Oh, truly, goodness and mercy says, no, there is no quit. You got to keep going. Come on, thank God for the goodness and mercy that God's Spirit allows to accompany us everywhere we go, because He is our shepherd. And I shall not want. Hallelujah. And I will dwell. I like that statement. That statement is a statement of confidence. I won't dwell in the house of the Lord because of my attitude. I won't dwell in the house of the Lord because somebody pat me on the back and say, way to go. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord because of His mercy. Amen. Because of His grace. Because of His loving kindness. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Same David, different attitude. Same saint of God, different attitude. Come on. How's your mindset? How's your mental position? How is your settled way of thinking? Is your settled way of thinking according to the Word of God, or is it your settled way of thinking according to what I believe or what I want? Amen. There needs to be some attitudes changed in the world today. I believe that with all of my heart. But you got to want it. Got to desire it. Got to be submissive and ask the mercy of God in your life. Remember, attitudes change, but God never changes. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Don't know your situations. You may not have a circumstance in your life. You may not have a problem or an issue, and thank God for that. If you had, you ought to be shouting all over the place. But maybe something is weighing heavy on your heart. Maybe something is in your mind you just can't seem to get rid of. Maybe you have even questioned God. God, why won't you listen? Why have you forsaken me? Why have you let me down? I'll assure you, He hasn't.